get these called.
I'd like to call your attention this morning to a passage of scripture found in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I'd like to begin reading in verse 22 of John, chapter 6. I do ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this morning, as we always need the Lord to bless us to be able to preach to God's little children. We want to ask you just to continue to pray, as Brother Tony's already prayed this morning, that the Lord would bless us with liberty to preach and to teach God's children. We also know that the instruction process that the Lord has put in place, He blesses and calls men to preach the gospel and blesses them to do that, but He also is there to bless each and every one of God's little children that sit under the sound of the gospel to be able to hear it and understand it. So we are absolutely in need of the Lord's blessing this morning and be able to get anything out of this service. I do want to remind you, though, that if you have gotten anything already, if there's been anything good that you've enjoyed this morning, if you've had any good thoughts, if you've had any good things given to you already, if you've been made appreciative of what the Lord's done for you, and even if you have the wisdom to know who to look to this morning for your help and for your strength, that's come to you because of God's grace. That man by nature does not have that ability, that capability of being able to understand his needs or to call upon the Lord. That's a great evidence that the Lord has done something very wonderful for you in your life. And that is, he has brought you out of a state of darkness and made you light in the Lord. He's brought you out of a state of death, and you've been quickened. And you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about this morning, that the Lord of all of the family of man would have anything to do with an old sinner like me and like you, and that he would touch our lives and take that which is not worthy of anything and bless us so wonderfully as he has today. We sing a hymn, little Sister Robin Lewis used to always call it out, count your blessings and name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. This morning I hope we all will stop and pause and count our blessings and recognize in our life where every good thing has come from, so that we would truly today in our hearts be praising God, that we wouldn't just show up, we wouldn't just seek him for some other reason or look for him just because of the natural things, but that we would recognize that if it were not for the Lord, there would be absolutely no gospel or good news for us to share today. But because of Jesus and what he has done for us, there's a great declaration that we can make to God's little children. That is, that you have a Savior who loved you so much, a Father who loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And believing in him is a great, great blessing this morning. Not something you could do on your own, not something you could begin to do, not something I could convince you to do, not something I could cause you to do, not something I can give you. It's the work of Almighty God. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching here in this passage in John chapter 6. He says in verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And what a great, great promise the Lord gave unto them and to all of his children. We see these people following Jesus, and it's interesting to think about what they had been blessed to see. I believe some of these people were the same ones that when there was a multitude that was hungry, and Jesus said, looking at that multitude, he saw that they needed to eat. And so he told his disciples to go get bread that they needed to eat. And the disciples said, well, how are we going to feed such a multitude, seeing we don't have anything? And if we had 200 penny worth of bread, then it wouldn't be enough to feed them. And then one of them, I believe it was Andrew, that brought the little lad and saw the little lad who had two loaves and a few fishes. And he said, here we have a lad that has this, but what is that among so many? Jesus, knowing exactly what he would do, he prayed and he blessed the bread and he broke it and he had the men sit down, and they took that bread and fed 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And these were some that I believe who were there and who had actually partaken of that. No doubt they had been hungry. No doubt they had been following and seeing Jesus and all the miracles that he did. And they had become hungry, and they were the ones that Jesus had compassion on. And they had seen him take that. And can you imagine what a meal that was to sit there and watch those disciples carry that bread that just seemed to magically, miraculously multiply, and there the Lord just continued to hand it out. When they took up the baskets after it was over, there was more left than they had to start with, which really tells us about how Jesus supplies our daily bread. He's taking care of us in our life. I'm talking about the natural things of life, the food that's on our table, the clothes that we're wearing this morning, the homes that we live in, the cars that we drive, the jobs that we have, all the blessings that we have in a natural way, they've come from the Lord. Every day the Lord has supplied unto us natural things, that though we have labored to some degree, even the labor that we put in, that strength didn't come from us, that came from him. He's the one who's the one who gave us the natural ability. If you have the ability to do particular things, you know, I often look around and see people who have particular talents, you know, who can take metal and work that metal and shape that metal and do wonderful things with the metal, or take, when it comes time to build a house, they have no trouble doing that, or whatever they have, the particular talents that they have, whether it's to teach children or whether it's to drive a vehicle, or whether it's to build a house, or whether it's to design buildings, or to do whatever they have in this world. Everyone that has any good thing that they're able to do in their life, we know where every good thing comes from. There's no question about that, or shouldn't be any question in our minds about that today, because the Bible tells us every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. If you have any blessings, in a nutshell, if you have any blessings in your life, and you already, we've already said you got so many, every one of them has come to you by the grace of God and the mercy of God. Now that's even for the natural man of this world that would not have any thoughts towards spiritual things. Now, can the natural man see that and understand that and know that? The answer to that is absolutely not. Because a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So though we preach that this morning and tell everybody, that's an open declaration that God, to this world, we didn't deserve the sun to rise this morning. We didn't deserve the heat that we're feeling from the natural sun that the Lord put in the sky. We don't deserve the water that He's put on the planet. We don't deserve the food that we have. We don't deserve all of these things. God's grace has supplied it to all mankind, these natural things, and even the natural body and the physical health that we have. None of us have earned it or merited it. God didn't owe us anything. As a matter of fact, if God gave us what He owed us and just what we had merited, what we have earned, none of us would want to receive that. Because the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me, that's my family, that's my mama, that's my daddy, that's my grandparents, that's my children. That's that polluted bloodline has come down to us through Adam, and Adam and his transgression, and Adam fell, and that polluted bloodline has come down to us. And all of us, without exception this morning, can say we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us can look in the mirror and say, there is none good, no, not one, even the one that I'm looking at in the mirror. And if we can't see that and understand that, well, that's where we would be by nature. Nature doesn't want to hear that. Nature doesn't want to have that. Man doesn't like that. There's a part of you that doesn't like that. Said, Brother Gary, you offended me this morning. You told me I was rotten and no good. You didn't only do that, you told me my mama and my daddy was rotten and no good. You even talked about my grandparents. All the way back in our bloodline, you talked about my family and my family tree. Not only the ones that came before, but all, now you talked about my children. You're talking about my little ones. You're talking, you mean there's no good in man? Listen, the only good that we'll see in anyone, and I believe there are some things we see that's good in this world, even from our loved ones. I have a good mama, and I'm thankful for her. And she's on my mind and thoughts right now. And I'm thankful. But every good thing that mama ever did for me, the only good that was ever and would ever be in my mama and ever be good for me is that which was given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the praise for that and the honor of that and the glory for that belongs to the Lord. And what's true of my mama is true for your mama and your daddy and your children and you. We have to look to the Lord. And we have to understand that He is the source of all good things. So that we don't get mixed up about that and start worshiping or praising someone else. Or thanking and praising someone else. It's not wrong for us to thank one another. It's not wrong for us to be thankful for one another. But it is wrong for us to worship anyone but our God who is in heaven. There's not many gods, there's one God. And this morning, we're not here to talk about mama and daddy per se. We can share about them, but always in this light. Everything good about them. I love a funeral that I can go to. You say, well, you mean you love funerals? I do. When I can go to them and we hear about the Lord. And you talk about the Lord. And you talk about what has happened. When you talk about a little child or you talk about one, a little child of God who lived in this world, and though they're gone, because of what Jesus did for them, and because of the evidence we saw in their life, we know they're not gone forever, but they're just absent for a little while, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and it's not all over. Listen, if the only thing we could talk about is what's going on in time, what happens when we die? The natural food is not necessary anymore. It doesn't mean a thing, no matter what they ate or what they drank. If that's the only meat we can talk about today is what we have in this world, there are great blessings. I've talked about them already this morning. There are great blessings that we ought to acknowledge, but let's not just get caught up in those timely things. Let's be thankful that the Lord hadn't left us in the darkness that we were in by nature, and He's allowed us to see every day that we're not alone, but we have a Savior who walks with us and talks with us, and one day, by His grace, we'll be with Him in glory. Not because of what we did for Him, not because of anything we can do or will do, but because of what He did for us. And because of what He did for us, that's true for you this morning. And we need to live every day remembering that. So we don't get so caught up in the hustle and the bustle of life, we forget to honor and glorify the Lord who has supplied to us the life we're living right now and the promise of that life forever. It's eternal life. It's eternal things that we want to remember. If you love the Lord today, it's because He first loved you. And if He loved you, He'll always love you. And nothing can separate you from His love. Nothing, and you ought to love Him more. And if you love Him, and you have a desire to love Him and serve Him, it's because He first loved you. And the more you love Him, the more you're going to be at peace about Him, and the less you're going to be concerned about all the stuff that right now weighs us down. I dare say that about every one of us have a whole lot of weights here this morning as we carry them in, that you and I need to get off of us and lay aside and labor not for that meat which perisheth. These people had seen Jesus feed the multitude, which should have told them, when you need food, Jesus is the one who can provide it. Isn't that good to know? Well, that's all they saw though. They just saw it for time. They just saw it for the day. As a matter of fact, they saw it and enjoyed it so much, they want some more of it. They wanted to come back and get some more. But they had missed that there's more to Him than just your daily natural bread. There's more to Jesus than just what He can do for me this morning, this day, in a natural way. I have something to desire of Him and need of Him that's above just the food that I might eat or the natural blessings that He might give me. He's not just there to fix things when they're broken in my life. He's not just there to take care of the natural things. He's the one who can heal my broken, sin-sick heart that recognizes. Do you recognize with me today that if God gave me exactly what I deserved, I'd be in trouble this morning? Because I have sinned and I cannot go to heaven by my own works. I can't get good enough by my own works. I can't live right enough by my own works. I can't go to church enough so that it would be acceptable to Him. I can't read my Bible enough so that I'm okay. I can't. Even though I ought to be doing all those things, I cannot trust in my efforts or what I've done. I need something greater than that because I'm a mess. And when I would do good, I find evil present with me. If that's the way you feel this morning, you're in blessed company because the Apostle Paul, as he wrote scriptures, felt exactly that same way. And he wanted us to understand that righteousness did not come by the works of the law. And that the only way you and I will ever feel clean. Do you want to feel clean today? Do you feel unclean? Do you want to feel clean? Are you troubled? Do you want to be at peace? Are you worried and concerned? Do you want to be at rest? The only way you and I can find rest, and the only way we can find comfort and peace in our hearts about eternal things or about our day-to-day life, is to turn it all over to that wonderful Savior who already holds it all in His hand. He holds you in His hand and every circumstance of your life in His hand. And you and I today, we are here not to eat the natural food. I'm looking forward to the chicken that I'm expecting to have downstairs. And I heard about a little chili that's down there. And I know a few things that Sharon's brought that I've already tasted and had a little pre-taste of it. And those things are good and wonderful. But I'm telling you, if I only came to come here, if I only came this morning to have that natural food, we could have gotten things pretty close at Cracker Barrel. It won't be quite as good, but we could have gotten things pretty close. I'm telling you, we're not here for the natural food. We're not just here for the natural friendship or the fellowship. I enjoy that friendship and that fellowship. I'll tell you though, if that's all we had, I'm saying it's all just empty. It's really empty. I'm here to understand and to know a little more about a Savior who one day is going to carry me out of this troubled world. I'm going to be with Him in heaven, and all of God's children are going to be there, who has taken me through the troubles and the problems of my life, who has been there for me. And Jesus would say to us, for us not to labor today. Are you troubled today about things that are going to perish? What's bothering you most right now? Is that going to last forever? Or when you die, is it going to be gone? You realize if you die and it's gone, that's temporal. That's here. You and I, we should be laboring for that meat that endureth unto life everlasting. We should be worried about and concerned about those that are not to worry or concerned about them, but we should be putting our time and our energy and our efforts in the spiritual activity of God's little children. Listen, when we are talking about things of this old world, for the most part, and I don't mean to be rude here, for the most part, we're just wasting our time. It's okay to discuss them a little bit. But to get tied up in that all the time, when every time I pick up the phone, I'm talking about politics, or every time I pick up the phone or talk, I'm talking about work, or I'm talking about this, every time my conversation goes back, listen, I'm missing the day-to-day blessings of the Lord every day spiritually in my life, where He's with me, and He's there, and He's supplying what I need. And this morning when I come to the house of God, I want to be reminded of that, and I need that spiritual food. The spiritual food that I've enjoyed under the preaching of the gospel in the old Baptist church now for many, many years. It fed my heart. It fed my soul. It encouraged me. It makes you feel better sometimes when you don't even know why. You've been there? You say, I don't know why I feel better. I don't even know why I like it over there with them old fogey people, but I'll tell you what. It fits my heart. You know why? Because I pray we talk about Jesus. I pray that we sing about Jesus. I pray that we tell one another about Jesus. We tell one another when we're in trouble that it'll be all right because Jesus is still on the throne. And when we're riding high, don't get puffed up in that because Jesus is the one who blessed you. You know, it keeps you from being so high-minded and heady. It brings you down, doesn't it? And yet it lifts you up. It's wonderful what the Lord does. If you're lifted up in yourself, the preaching of the gospel will cut you right down. And if you're lifted up in the Lord, if you're down and you can't feel like you can get lifted up, the Lord will lift you up. He sets you with kings and priests where you just, well, it is. He's saying, it is well with my soul. These men, these ones who had come, they came to Jesus in order to get some more. Really, they were looking for more food because they had been hungry naturally and they had been given. First of all, they want to know, how did he get across? We saw all the disciples get into a boat. How did he get over there where they are? Where is he? He should be here. We didn't see him leave. Did anybody see him leave? I'm sure they asked one another. Did anybody see him get on the boat? Now, there was only one boat. There was only one there. The disciples got on it, but Jesus wasn't on it. And he's not here. Where could he be? And when they found him on the other side. They got on the boat and go over there because they were looking for him. And when they got there he was. And they said, how did you get here? Jesus could have said, I just walked on the water. Because that's what he did. The disciples were in a boat, couldn't hardly get there. Jesus walked on. They were riding in a ship. They were riding in a boat. But they in the troubled sea came. And you remember from the other accounts, when Jesus came, he came walking on a troubled sea. It wasn't a nice flat ocean that he walked on. He just walked right on the water. He not only walked on the water, he gave Peter the ability to walk on the water a little with him. Isn't it wonderful today to serve a Savior that when you're in the midst of the storms of life can come walking right up on the water in the middle of the storm. And when you need to, listen, when you need to, not every time you want, but when you need to, when it's important for you to do it, when you have to face a trouble and you have to step out and lean upon Him, He gives us the strength. When He calls us to come and He says, we ask His permission, Lord, if it's Thee, can I come to Thee? He said, come on. And when He Peter stepped out on that water. Peter walked on the water. Somebody might want to point out, well, Peter didn't stay on the water, though he sunk. Isn't that true of us so many times? You know why Peter sunk into the water? Because his eyes went off the Lord and went on the storm. Where are your eyes this morning? We got a storm all around us. We got a storm in our country. We got a storm in our personal life. We got a storm in our family's life. We got all kinds of problems. I'm telling you, the problems that we have faced last year, the Lord brought us through them, did He not? I believe He's just as big today as He's ever been. And the same Lord who's led us through those problems will be with us in this coming year, if it is the Lord's will that this year be. It may be before the year ushers in that we hear the sound of the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and there'll be a change made, and all of us get to go home right now to be with Him in glory. And I would say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Is that good news for you today? A lot of people are using that to try to scare everybody to death. So, you know, you better be getting things ready. You better be getting right. Can I say to you today, if the Lord hadn't made you ready and made you right, you'll never get ready and you'll never be right. And the more you try to get yourself ready and right on your own, the less you're trusting Him and the more you dishonor Him. I'm not saying we ought not try to live the very best we can, but I'm telling the only one who is our sufficiency, the only one who can wash me white enough to be with Him in glory, the only one who can take care of my sin problem and my sin debt is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you were loved by Him before the foundation of the world, He's already done that at Calvary when He died in your room instead, and He paid that sin debt completely, so that you and I should not be sitting around worrying about that. We should be looking forward to Him coming. Right now, what we want to do is to live better. Don't you? I want to live better for Him. I want to get up every morning and remember that the reason I'm here is to have fellowship with my Lord. Above me being a daddy, above me being a husband, above me being whatever God calls a pastor or anything else, the most important thing in my life should be my relationship and my fellowship with the God of heaven, because He will give me the strength to be the best daddy, the best pastor. He will give me the ability to do things above and beyond anything that I could do on my own. Haven't you seen that to be the truth? And then we want to live for Him. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum and seeking for Jesus. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? How'd you get over here? Jesus didn't say a thing about, well, I just walked on the water. Because they already were wanting to take Him and by force make Him a king. Not to be a spiritual kingdom that He set up already in this world, but they wanted deliverance from the Romans. They wanted to have the Jewish empire restored. They were looking for a natural. They were thinking of things naturally. Do you and I sometimes miss spiritual things because we're thinking too much naturally? Well, we know the answer to that. And what Jesus is teaching them here is to get away from the natural and focus on the spiritual. You and I need to get away from the natural. That doesn't mean we don't care about natural things. There's a certain amount of things we're supposed to take care of. A man's supposed to work for his living. A man is supposed to labor with his hands. He's supposed to go out and do that. But what do? We look to the Lord to give us the job. We look to the Lord to give us the strength to do the job. We look to the Lord to bless us with the ability to do it, and then that it would bear fruit. Because if the Lord doesn't bless us, you can work all you want to. Have you ever tried to just work and work and work, and then nothing come of your work? It just seemed like wasted time. And I'm telling you, if the Lord doesn't bless our labors, everything we want. That is why we should say in our life, not what I want, not my way, but Thy will be done. And then what a peace comes in the life of a little child of God when they just turn it over to the Lord. All your worrying about it hadn't changed one thing other than waste your time. And you're laboring for things that are just not bearing. It's like putting your money in a bag with holes in it. You know, I'm just I'm going to put this away. I've got to get this done. I've got to do that. And it's Isaiah 55 lays it out really, really clearly that we labor for things that don't satisfy. If we gain it all, what will we have? Problems and troubles and everything else if we don't have the Lord. But if you have food and raiment and contentment, you've got great gain. How good the Lord has been to us. He goes on and he says, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You know, Jesus knew exactly what was going on in their heart. You know, and I can look over the congregation here today and I can kind of think in my mind what's going on with you. Sometimes we do that. How often are we wrong when we just assume that about others? In other words, we think they're doing something. How much trouble do you think the old devil even has brought in our life when we start supposing what other people are thinking? Supposing why other people do what they do and what's going on with their minds. You know, we're in a place there that we should not be when we start trying to figure out why other people are doing what we're doing. And the old devil will use that and bring the worst kinds of thoughts in your mind about, next thing you know, you'll have a brother upset with a brother over something they thought. I'm not picking about that. I'm just saying how quickly that can happen. Brethren, let's beware of that. Remember this, though. Jesus knows everything. There is nothing that he does not know. We want to read just to you over in the book of Hebrews just to remind you again of what Jesus knows. And all that he saw when these folks came to him, there wasn't any question in his mind about what they were after. He knew exactly why they were there. He knows why you and I came to church this morning. He knows why we're here. That should cause us to be comforted and also cause us to be careful that we search our hearts to make sure our motives are where we would want them to be, where they ought to be. Listen, there's many reasons we might come. There's many reasons someone might attend an old Baptist church. We might attend it because that was where mom and daddy went. We might attend it because they serve pretty good pies over there after you've gone. You can get a good meal. You might attend it, so maybe someone will. You know, I might find someone to help me over there, and all of those things in and of themselves might not be wrong altogether. I think it's wonderful for us to have the fellowship, but if that's the reason we're coming, we're in trouble, aren't we? Why should we really be here today? Well, Jesus knows why we're here. But we should be here today to thank him for how good and wonderful he's been to us, to be able to praise him because he's worthy of all praise, to be able to remember him and learn more about him so that I can live better for him, to be able to honor him and to glorify him because he's worthy of all the praise, and to be able to help and encourage us to trust in him better in our lives so that we might be used in the service of God to glorify and honor the Lord and give every bit of the praise and the honor and the glory for that to the Lord. That is the reason. Well, does Jesus know why we're here? Well, the Bible teaches us that he does. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick. That means the word of God is alive. Now, what is the word of God that's alive? We know what the living word is. We have the preach word, which I'm trying to do right now. We have the written word, which testifies of the living word. That's what's written in God's word. Scripture, holy writ, is the written word. And the preach word comes as one uses the written word and declares unto God's little children the written word. If I'm not declaring the written word, I'm not preaching. I might call it preaching. You might call it preaching. But it's not really preaching unless it's coming from the book. His word is what we're to preach. We're to preach the word. And the word that we're to preach, the written word, testifies of the living word. And this is talking about the living word. And the living word was with God in the beginning, was God. That is Jesus Christ, the living word, the one who spoke this world into existence. And he says, for the word of God is quick, that is alive, and powerful. Jesus is powerful. I want to say it over and over. Jesus is powerful. So when you're in trouble, you're praying to Jesus, you're praying to one who's powerful. He's alive, which means He hears us. We don't serve a dead Savior. Isn't that wonderful? There's an empty tomb that declares He's alive. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. He hears us and He has power. When you call upon Him, He has power. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. So if you're in trouble today and you need Him, you can call upon Him because He has power. He has love for you. He has power. He's alive. And He's powerful and He's sharper than any two-edged sword. Which means He can cut right to the quick. His words cut right to the quick. Have you read them sometimes and they go right in there and they get you? You go to church and sometimes you'll sit there at church and you say, well, I think that preacher just was preaching just to me today. He just talked right to me. I don't know that anybody... I hope and pray we have more of that than less of that. Because it's a wonderful thing when you come to the meeting house and the Lord uses the preaching of the gospel to speak right to you. Have you had things like that happen where you may not even have known on the day you got it what you needed it for, but about Wednesday or Thursday you go, yep, I see where I got that, why I needed that. Sometimes it's like I needed this last Wednesday and Thursday, but He gave it to me today. Listen, let's not be just mindful of the Lord when we come to church on Sunday. Let's remember Him all the time. Let's remember Him every day. Let's look to Him every day. Let's remember that when we have our little ones around us at the table and we bow our heads. So our prayers are not just things we do because that's what we do, but that we really remember the Lord is the King of this house and He's the one who's in control. So that when a husband or a wife get ready to fuss at one another, rather than fuss at one another, they might hold one another's hands and say, let's pray and look to the Lord and get the answer to this problem. Or when you're having battles in your home, you can stop and just pray and look to the Lord. Or when you're about to say something that you know you shouldn't say, but you just, the old flesh rises up in you, you have the ability in the Lord just to control that and turn it and go another way. Or when you just don't know what to do, you can wait on the Lord and He'll open it up. Sometimes we just gotta run ahead, though, don't we? I just had to say something. Brethren, how much better is it when we wait for that meat that is endured unto everlasting life? We wait for His spiritual instruction to help us in this old world. I'm telling you, He's powerful. And He's sharper than any two-edged sword. That means He knows what's going on in Gary. And I'll tell you, I'm a messed up thing. You are too, but I don't mean to get personal. But in a sense, I do. We think we know ourselves, but we don't. We don't know ourselves like Jesus knows us. He knows us in the depths of us. He's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. You want to divide the soul and the spirit? It's hard to do when you try to go to explain. It's hard to explain the difference between the soul and the spirit. And not with Jesus. He knows exactly the difference between the soul and the spirit. And of the joints and marrow. When you get to the joints and the marrow, how do you get to... That's pretty deep in the joints and the marrow. And he's a discerner. He understands. He understands of the thoughts. He knows our thoughts and He knows the intents of our heart. He knows why we're here. Brethren, if we're right with Him, everything else is okay. And if we're right with everybody else and not right with Him, nothing's okay. So what is our main concern today? My main concern ought to be that Lord, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And that ought to be the prayer that's in my heart. He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And in case we didn't know who that was, He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is, passed into the heavens. He's got a name too. What is His name? Somebody said, well, that's just the great spirit. That's no. This is the God who has a name. We call it, He has a name. His name is Jesus. He's Jesus, the Son of God. And He said, because He is who He is, let us hold fast. You hold fast onto your profession. Listen, the one you've trusted in is worthy of your trust. The one you've depended in and trusted in is worthy of you leaning on Him. Don't you let anyone steal or rob you of your crown. You hold fast to Him. And I'm not talking about losing your eternal life. Listen, you didn't get that on your own. You can't lose that. But you can lose your joys. You can lose your rest and you can lose your peace by getting your eyes on the things of the world and off of Him. I know time's gone and I'm not near into this very far, but that's okay. We're not going to try to finish it all up. He says Jesus couldn't do it even if we tried. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." He knew exactly why they were there. He said, "Labor not." And He gives them that instruction. We'll leave you with this morning. Labor not. Where are you laboring today? Is it for the meat which perisheth? That's timely things, temporal things, natural things. Whether it's the things naturally that you want to think about, or whether it's the actual food that's on your table, or whatever it might be, the things of this world. It doesn't mean we can't work for them a little bit. It means that should not be the essence of our life. Your life is more than meat. You know, we have fellowship with the Lord, and that is where our life is. And He goes on and He says, "Endureth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." When God the Father sent His only begotten Son, He pointed to Him in every way that this is my beloved Son. It wasn't the voice of God that came out of heaven at His baptism. When he was baptized, what happened? When Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God descended upon Him. God sealed Him. Not only that, the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, the Father, was heard. Not only on that occasion, but on other occasions, saying, "This is who?" He said, "My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." One place it says, "Hear ye Him." Listen, there's no question about who Jesus was. This one that was born in Bethlehem, Judea, that was a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He wasn't just any little babe. He wasn't just another one of the children born in that day and age. There, born in Bethlehem, Judea, was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of all the world, of the elect of God's children, every one of His children. He came to save them. That little baby grew up and lived a perfect life and went to the cross and died a death that paid our sin debt and separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And in that death, He secured for us heaven and immortal glory. And He also blessed us with a wonderful blessing called life here in this world, that you and I ought to live every single day to the best of our ability, to His knowledge, to His praise and His honor and His glory. And I say to you, let us labor for that meat, spiritual food. Let us look for that. Let that be our most concern, because it endures unto life everlasting. That's those things that we have in this world that are eternal. The love we have for one another, that's eternal. Spiritual love. Not the natural love, but the spiritual love. The fellowship. You know, somebody asks a lot of times, what things will we have in heaven that are like here? Well, I'll tell you, the things that are of the Spirit of God are going to be in heaven, except manifold, many times over, much, much better. You know, have you enjoyed good meetings down here? Absolutely. Spiritual meetings? We'll have them over there. Do we have love for God's children down here? We'll have love for God's children over there. Will we have a love for Jesus? Do we have that down here? Yes, we'll have it over there. Those things, all the other stuff that worries us so much, won't even be a thought. So, why do we make such a value on it now? What is the most important thing? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those natural things will be added to you. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. May the Lord help us to really see what's important in our lives. And our fellowship with one another in the Lord, in the Spirit, that is such an important thing. Number one, having fellowship with the Lord, to love Him. And then to do what? Love our neighbor as ourselves. Love God's children. Love one another. It's a responsibility. It's a duty the Lord's given us. and it's a blessing. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. And I appreciate your kind attention and prayers.
And all over the place this morning. I hope it was all right.